Not every. Look, it's a Friday night. We have plenty of time, right? What the hell do I have to do? Go back, bomb Iran a little bit more? What the hell? So this is...
That is our sweaty president two nights ago on stage talking about how he has nothing else to do other than bomb Iran. We have now entered day 180 of this war that was supposed to last 4 weeks, which is 28 days, and there is no sight of leaving this conflict. It's very reminiscent of both Iraq and Afghanistan. Many people that are watching this, many people in my generation and the millennial generation, still feel the remnants of these wars that we grew up in and that you guys remember George W. Bush launching. He said that we were winning, that we were going to keep on winning, that Saddam Hussein was dead, and then it turned into a grinding counterinsurgency for years and years, decades in the case of Afghanistan, where we spent trillions of dollars. That is exactly what we're seeing now, which leads me to one simple conclusion. MAGA, the entire MAGA movement was all just a sophisticated marketing scheme for the same old Republican policies. Donald Trump got into office. He started a war with a country that's in the Middle East that starts with the letters IRA. He cut taxes for the rich, cut benefits for the most vulnerable, and then blew up the debt a little bit more. Just add a little bit of corruption, narcissism, and fascism, and that is the modern day Trump administration. Back in 2014, Donald Trump was doing a lot of commentary on Obama and his deal with Iran and said, can you believe that with all of the problems and difficulties facing the U.S., President Obama spent the day playing golf? Worse than Carter. This is a very, very ironic post because, as we've pointed out, Obama was able to secure a deal with Iran without losing a single member of the military, without firing a single missile, and without the Strait of Hormuz closing down. And secondly, Donald Trump has now found himself in a very similar situation as Jimmy Carter in the sense that Iran is holding him hostage. I really don't often cite Chris Christie or any Republicans on this show, but he put it very eloquently recently.
What does he do?
Look, the real problem here is it was an adventure without a plan. And now, you know, I've struck this week when the Iranians put out their list of demands to reopen the strait, reparations, et cetera. What struck me was that Donald Trump is about to become what he never, ever wanted to be, Jimmy Carter.
Yes.
He is being held hostage by Iran. They are holding the Strait of Hormuz hostage. As a result, they're holding the world economy hostage, and it's focused at Donald Trump. And I know from talking to him over the last 24 years, the one person he would never want to be
is Jimmy Carter. I talked to him about Jimmy Carter,
right?
Too.
And so, and here we are, and it was all voluntary.
All voluntary. We've gotten zero concessions from Iran. Here's Obama laying it out.
We pulled it off without firing a missile. We got 97% of their enriched uranium out. They were able to maintain a modest civilian nuclear program for energy. And
so you think it was working?
Well, it's not only did I think it was working, even Israeli intelligence thought it was working. Even our intelligence services thought it was working. So there's no dispute that it worked. And we didn't have to kill a whole bunch of people or shut down the Strait of Hormuz. Now,
well, there was some dispute that it didn't work.
Well,
our present president believed that it didn't work, which is why he pulled out of it.
It's not clear that he didn't believe that it didn't work. He just said it didn't work.
Worst deal of all time.
Yeah, because I did it, which is fine.
True. I mean, what Obama's saying is very true. Trump is vindictive, not policy oriented.
That seems to be a pattern. But there is no serious independent folks who would say that it didn't work with respect to the nuclear program. Now, if your agenda was to bring about regime change in Iran, well, that wasn't the goal of the agreement. If your goal was to dismantle the Iranian military so that it couldn't cause any other problems in the region, then it didn't do that, but that wasn't the goal.
It wasn't the goal. And Donald Trump has time and time again switched the goal of this Iran war while ignoring what the actual goal of any war should be. At the most fundamental level, the goal of any war is to use force to extract concessions from your opponent, oftentimes political concessions like land or territory or treaty or something like that. You extract concessions from them. We have gotten nothing from the Iranians. They haven't budged on the nuclear piece. The regime is still in place. They still have missiles, which is why Donald Trump's life was in danger. You know what the most ironic part is about this Trump tweet where he says, "Can you believe that President Obama spent the day playing golf worse than Carter?" It's not just the Carter piece, but it's that Trump has been relentlessly on the golf course, even being protected by our military on the golf course. This is a real photo. It says, "Donald Trump was spotted golfing at Bedminster, flanked by an T1Q1 Avenger short-range air defense system. The heightened security comes after military jets intercepted civilian aircraft that violated the no-fly zone." This was after he had to be transported via a cart when he was in Turkey. This is after he had to flee multiple times. I mean, Lord have mercy. He is fleeing because the Iran war has gotten that dangerous. I mean, Obama might have been golfing here or there, but Trump has golfed way more, and he has Natalie Harp sprinting after him while he's on the golf course in Scotland, always golfing at his own courses. Here's Trump standing next to Caroline Leavitt lying about Iran even more. Listen.
"I'm Iran, shifting economic warfare towards Iran. Does that indicate that the military options in the region for the U.S. are limited?"
"No, not at all. It just means that we're seeing what happens. They have no money. They have no Navy. They have no Air Force. They are not paying their soldiers. They're not paying their police. They have 350% inflation. So we're just going to sort of see what happens. And we have total control, as you know, of the border. We have total control. If you look at the blockade, we have total control of that entire region."
We really don't. There's still a closed down Strait of Hormuz because that is the main leverage that they currently have. And this has sparked something really, really unique, a new unique discourse that I want to talk about very quickly, because Mark Ruffalo, one of the largest actors out there, obviously known as the Hulk, he was also in The Kids Are All Right. He's in a lot of movies that I really, really like. He had to respond to accusations that he's anti-Semitic coming from Paramount. Just listen to this. Mark Ruffalo has been a consistent opponent of Paramount's $111 billion deal for Warner Brothers, testifying against a merger in a Senate hearing, signing an open letter along with hundreds of actors opposing the buy and amplifying his message on social media. His latest missive took aim at Larry Ellison, the Oracle founder worth about $200 billion, who's the father of Paramount CEO David Ellison. Larry's billions of dollars are a key backstop to help his son's merger. Ruffalo's post highlighted Oracle's ties to the Israeli military, circulating a clip of former Oracle chief Safra Katz talking up Oracle's tech at an Israeli-American Council national summit. Ruffalo posted this, and the Ellisons and a spokesperson for Paramount took an unusual step of issuing a lengthy reply calling him anti-Semitic for simply posting this. Mark Ruffalo then responded, and it got 20 million views in the course of one day, 731,000 likes. He said, "The accusation that I am anti-Semitic is appalling and fundamentally dishonest. Criticizing the actions of the Israeli prime minister, a military technology contract, or the executives who supply it is not the same as criticizing Jewish people. The critical and necessary dialogue is then dishonestly framed as being anti-Israel. To be clear, my views come from my own political convictions and should never be interpreted as hostility towards Jewish people for whom I have deep love and respect. Everything I know about acting, activism, and humanism has been profoundly shaped by the Jewish friends, colleagues, and loved ones who have been an integral in family throughout every point of my life. The merger has real consequences for real people and for the entire country. Scrutinizing the Ellisons, including Oracle's business built on data, surveillance technology, and government contracts, and the serious threat to editorial freedom, it's not anti-Semitic," he says, "is fair and necessary. The $111 billion deal would hand one family control over CNN, HBO, Warner Brothers, TikTok, and many more, backed in part by foreign money whose influence on editorial decisions has never been fully explained to the public. Again, 20 million views. And this was posted about 24 hours ago at the time of recording this video. I think it's a very well-said statement from Mark Ruffalo addressing something that needed to be addressed. I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to be traveling a lot this week. If you want to stay up to date with the channel, you can click the bell below, click subscribe, and turn on post notifications. I love you all. I'll see you in the next one. Peace out.